The Idiotville team would like to thank Community Access Media, the Autocalypse Food Truck, Palermo Realty, our Patreon subscribers, and all of our listeners for their support and contributions. We love you, Erie.
Idiotville is a mature podcast. We sometimes touch on adult themes and use adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back, idiots.
Rent and Liberty. I don't even know what the N stands for this week.
Nobody else?
Yeah, nobody else in here except for our guest today.
Our guest, go ahead and give him an introduction.
This fucking guy over here, he likes to talk sports, he likes to talk shit, but he also likes to give back to his community. We have, from the Bayfront Boys, the Braden Hanlon.
Braden, how you doing?
Happy to be here. That was a better intro than the last one where I was, you know, labeled as like the worst member. But happy to be here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Giving back to the community.
We are really happy to have
you. We're happy to be one of your charity cases. Yes. Thanks, man.
We have only ever met online virtually.
Yep.
So we're really happy that you're here, and you're here for a great cause, and we're definitely going to talk about that a little bit. Since we did a kind of a simulcast with you guys a couple years ago, and that was a lot of fun.
That was fucking a lot of fun.
There was like six of us on there. It was just all over. We were talking about sports, CJ Beathard. We started talking about like our childhood crush at one point.
Yes.
It was everywhere.
Yes, that was probably the most fun that I've had doing one of those.
Yeah, we still have it. That's pretty much what like our group texts are all day long.
Is just all that. Day.
Just Dill brings up CJ Beathard. I'm talking about how I loved Alex Mack when I was like 11 years old, and not the center.
Did you see all those guys that just all retired now?
Yeah,
like Fitzmagic retired.
Yeah, but everyone's just like, oh, how? Dude, he's our age, man. Well, my age.
Yeah, he's not my age. I'm 45 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Stephon Tuitt just retired.
That hurts.
It hurts, but do you think maybe God could have called to him like before free agency in the draft? I appreciate that he doesn't want to play football anymore, and that's fine, but maybe he could have let them know beforehand so that they could have made plans instead of having essentially nobody up front.
Yeah, I just saw a graphic yesterday, and it was whatever year that draft was, and it was like they drafted Shazier to it. I think Martavis Bryant was in the fourth round, and then they drafted like Dree Archer, who I thought was going to be sick.
I thought Dree Archer was going to kill it.
Yeah, I thought we just, you know, had a gold mine. But you think about it now, I mean, Martavis, God knows where he is. Shazier, we know what happened to it. Like that would have been a legendary draft class right there.
It's so weird. It's the draft class of what could have been. They drafted the biggest guy in the draft in Dan McCullers. They drafted the fastest guy in Dree Archer. Then they drafted three guys that looked like they were going to be superstars.
Yeah.
And only one of them played an NFL game after turning 27.
In a different world, Dree Archer's Tyreek Hill.
I drafted Dree Archer as a rookie in every single fantasy league I was in, and he got me 0 points.
Yeah, he was Anthony McFarlane before Anthony McFarlane.
Yeah.
Zero career points, not even just that season.
Yeah. And I mean, Shazier would be.
Oh, Shazier.
I think he would be a lock for the Hall of Fame. Honestly, he was that good, and he was only getting better.
That's what kind of killed that whole run, I think.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, well, what happened? How did they go from this to that? Well, it ended right there.
You lost.
They didn't. Like, it wasn't even that great of a defense at the time. They had him.
Yeah. He was such a beast. And he's such a nice guy. Like, I really enjoyed him on and off the field. And he was just, oh, I was heartbroken when he went out.
Yeah. That play just, it's sickening.
So if you haven't noticed, the Bayfront Boys, it's a sports podcast. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Bayfront Boys?
Yeah, tell us about it.
So we started it in 2019, and it was like sort of like most of the stuff we do. Like I wasn't even in Erie. I was in Boston, and Bryce texted us and was like, we should start a podcast. And then at this point, we were like, all right, I'll see you Sunday night. I'll be home. Let's do it. And the first time we ever recorded, and we – you know, we hyped it up pretty well. We were the first thing. We're like, all right, we're going to give out a free shirt. We didn't even start. We had no idea how to make a shirt, but we were like, we're going to start giving it out. We made a logo. And we were like, let's just, I mean, talk about sports a little bit. And at first, you know, it was like, all right, we're doing pretty well. And then it's almost, you know, a bad thing to brag about, but COVID came around and we were like, hey, let's really transition into something. And that's where we were in college at this point and we had nothing to do. So we just started DMing people, like everybody. Every day we were just sending random DMs to people.
You had some great interviews during that time.
Yeah. Man.
You had great interviews and you had, didn't you guys have a tweet that was picked up by like national media?
So over the last year, we've really gone into like the, I mean, do you know, I'm trying to think, what is that one Twitter page where it's, I mean, it's sort of like The Onion these days where you go on and it's just some random thing. And we go on and we'll just make up something and, you know, we'll make up some news and you'll have a lot of people retweet it, then favorite it. And then you just have some people like, these guys are idiots. What do they know? And eventually, you know, sometimes we're right. Because
The one where you guys were right where I saw that?
It was around December and James Conner, being from Erie, I mean, we had legitimate connections. We knew he wasn't playing. And Adam Schefter's tweeting, like, he's going through warmups. He's going to play. And, you know, the people I'm talking to are like, I'm telling you, he's not playing today. So we tweeted it out and we're like, Adam, you're wrong. And we just want our credit. We still haven't gotten our credit from Adam Schefter. James didn't end up playing. We also got the Brent Venables thing. The one thing we didn't get right was Odell Beckham. And, Josh McDaniels. Last year, that was our first big one. We were like, Josh McDaniels going to the Browns. He's on a plane. He's going home. Nick made this whole thing like he's on his way. He's going back. And then it didn't happen. And delete the tweet and you move on. Or you keep it and you're like, hey, you know what?
Keep it, known it.
Or you do the heel turn, you're like, last second, change of heart. But yeah, I mean, during the pandemic, we
talked to him. He said, fuck Cleveland, yeah. And fuck you for thinking I'm going.
Yeah, we were just DMing people and I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. Like, Matt Farrell DM'd me back. I was like, really? Because we were just, he didn't know who we were. And, you know, we got a lot of people on, and that was cool. And then, because nobody had any choice. Like, I'm sitting at home. Like, here's a Zoom link. Hop on. And we had a lot of people being like, oh, you know, I know this person. And so we started to do interviews, and then things opened back up. And unfortunately, you know, we all got big boy jobs and dispersed a little bit. But, yeah, now we're just sort of golf outing creators, I guess.
and we're definitely going to give you a lot of time to talk about that. No. But you talking about the sports podcast and creating that, Brent and I have some news regarding our one of the shows that's under our umbrella.
Yeah, I've been seeing the rebrand.
Rebrand is coming. Brent, do we want to tell people what it's going to be called, or are we going to keep that?
You know what? They listen to us.
Yeah.
We can let them know what it's going to be called.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So I always love the different sports shows around here, and I never want to step on any toes. But there's one thing that I've noticed, and it's like ever since like iHeart bought up like all the stations, we don't have like some cool just sports talk that makes it feel like it's from here. You know, the Jim Lekorchicks, the like Alex Womer,
Chris Chico Borman,
like guys like that. Like, we used to have that. We don't have that anymore. And we thought that could be the void we could fill. Because one thing we noticed with Trash Sports Takes is we tend to talk a lot, like, we always digress into our teams.
Yeah.
So why not just cover, like, our teams and give the Erie perspective on the big sports and even the little sports? Yeah. So that's why Trash Sports Takes will be emerging in the coming weeks as Idiotville Sports.
Idiotville Sports. I really am excited about it. I always thought that was a really good idea. That doesn't mean that we're not going to keep the Trash Sports
takes. You're still going to have some good takes.
Yeah.
Because the
one this week that I fucking saw about the Steelers, that Merrill Hodge bullshit.
I think he's got CTE. I really do.
Like, who the fuck would actually think that to be true? Robert Spillane doesn't think that to be true.
No, and people are really down on Devin Bush because of the he was bouncing back from a torn ACL. Yeah. It's not like he broke his toe. You know, it's not like he had a hangnail.
You got the average people too that have like never torn a ligament. Like, come on, man, just be good again.
And, well, when we were down at Doug's house down in Florida watching the draft, there was this kid there who was like 19. And he's like, Devin Bush is trash. They need to cut him. I was like, have you ever watched football in your life? And he was like, they need to get rid of him. I'm like, no, motherfucker, they don't. You're wrong. And it's just, that's the Yinzer take on it, because he had some.
Oh, and we'll really be taking that. We'll be into consideration.
Really weird social media interactions and crazy stuff.
Well, now he's admitting, I kind of went through it mentally last year.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, I don't know. Why don't we let guys get better anymore? Why don't we let them bounce back? And then that always happens. Somebody picks up a guy on the cheap, and then he refines it, and everyone's just like, wow, they were stupid to give up on him. Like, everybody in the media just spent the whole offseason begging them to give up on this guy. Because you know the guy who I think with the Steelers, if I don't want to digress too much into sports, because we have a show for that
coming up soon.
But I think Chase Claypool is going to have a big year.
I love Chase Claypool.
I think.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
You probably had a 6-foot boner with a cheeseburger on the end of it, man.
I was watching it, and I mean, I didn't even think that they were going to take him, and I started running around the house. I mean, from Notre Dame, I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is ideal. And yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the same thing Juju went through, where it's like, if you have like a personality, people like hate you. They're like, oh, like you're taking time away. And I don't know. I love Chase Claypool, though.
I will say this. That's probably the same reaction that Brent had when they got Freiermuth. We were watching that, and they I wanted Najee Harris. I didn't care who the fuck else they got, and they got him, and I was happy. And then the next day they took Freiermuth, and Brent's like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, I hate Penn State, but like Freiermuth was a beast in college. I'm like, great. Even Najee, like, as a Notre Dame fan, I watched him hurdle Notre Dame players. I'm like, we'll worry about an offensive line later.
Yeah, I am.
We're still waiting for that.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Like, I have a favorite college team, and that's Iowa.
Yep.
And then I have
CJ Beathard.
Hope of CJ Beathard and many other hits. But my nephew went to Alabama, as I just beat these guys over the head with. So I watched a lot of Alabama games, and I love to watch them play, and I root for Alabama.
Yeah.
And I saw Najee Harris in January of 2021, and I said to my brother, they have to draft this guy. I hope he falls to the Steelers. 10 years ago, he'd have been a top 5 pick.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I was born. I don't wish I was born in Alabama, but I wish I had some tie where I could be an Alabama fan. I mean, it would just be awesome every year to be like, yeah, if we're feeling it, we're probably going to win it all. But yeah, Najee in college was a beast, and I don't know. I mean, there's so many people that are like, well, I don't know if he's going to be, you know, good enough. And like, they point to it, like, our offensive line was awful last year. And when there were games, I mean, how many yards did you have against the Browns that last game?
Where he just tore them up.
Our line was actually good. I'm like, look at that. Like, I mean, he's a beast. And it's also tough when your quarterback, like, I mean, Ben, I love the guy. Dude couldn't move. And it was like, whatever, you know.
He
had to be in the shotgun every time.
He was a statue in that
back. I think that hurt James Conner. Like, I hate to digress too much into sports, but I think that's what I was like, wow, how did James Conner all of a sudden go back to the Pro Bowl after this?
Yeah.
Ben couldn't freaking be under center anymore.
Yeah.
And so they had to run James Conner's not the guy you run a draw with every play.
Yeah.
No, he's a hand it off to him. Let him run it up the middle.
Yeah, tough.
Yeah, you know what Jerome Bettis' career would have looked like if he ran out of that offense?
Out of the shotgun every play.
Yeah, he'd be a mechanic right now.
That one Raiders game where he had like 5 carries for 3 yards and 3 touchdowns or whatever it was. But
I mean, there was one thing that you said earlier, and I feel like we got lucky on that because we went through the same thing. How old were you guys when you started this?
I think I was either 20 or 21.
Well, it's sort of the same deal.
I just know Nick was like 19. Nick was super young when we started.
He's just a baby.
I have a pair of boots in my basement that are older than that. Go on.
But I mean, looking at it, because if it was something that was like a viable option when I was that age, and then like my old friends from back in the day, if we all would have called each other up and done it, we would have been excited. We would have had fun.
Yeah.
But we would have ran into the same thing where you guys ran into, where we get scattered all over the place.
Yeah.
See, we get lucky because we've already went through the scattering, and this is where the big boy jobs came from, where what led us all together.
I've lived all over the place. I've lived in New Jersey, Virginia, Illinois, like all over. Tell us a little bit about some of the logistical problems that you guys have had since you kind of scattered to the four winds.
So Bryce was in Erie for a little bit, and now he's in Somerset and Johnstown, which
that sucks for him.
I mean,
I'm not gonna be too harsh on that place because you know he gives us enough that it's not great. Dylan was in Pittsburgh for a little bit, and then Clarion and Nick is in Cleveland. And I mean, Zoom's great. Like, Zoom works, but it's just – it's just not in person, and
it's not even, the vibe.
Yeah, it's just not the same with, like, I mean, cutting people off and, like, trying to get that timing and that rhythm and stuff. It worked out for a little bit, and then, yeah, just with, like, jobs and stuff. Like, Bryce, like, oh, I'm working till 7 tonight, and Nick's like, yeah, like, I'm doing this or whatever, and it got a little tough. We have talked. I mean, like, we're going to do another episode pretty soon here and stuff like that, but it was sort of just, like, that recalculating, okay, like – because, I mean, we've gone through so many different changes. At first, it was like, hey, this is great. We can all record in the same place. And then one person moved. It's like, okay, now it's adapted. It's like, okay, two people are gone, now three. And now all four of us are somewhere different. And then it was just like, okay, now there's a pandemic. And then it was like, all right, now we're out of the pandemic, but now we all have jobs. Like, yeah. I mean, it is crazy. Like, it's been 3-4 years that we've done this. And it doesn't feel like that because, you know, time's just flying, and for a while we were locked in our house. But yeah, I mean, Zoom's been great, but there's downsides to it.
Yeah, we struggle with that too, because some of our show, like, I mean, Ryan, the one guy we do our, yeah, who's part of what will be Idiotville Sports, he pretty much lives in Erie half the year,
yeah,
and lives in Europe half the year.
I was gonna say, I remember seeing one of them moved, and
yeah. So
I mean,
he'll be back like at the beginning of next year. In
what's the time difference on that one?
6 hours, I think.
Yeah, 6 or 7. It's
but he has a remote job that's based in the United States.
Yeah,
so he's pretty much just like this crazy night owl there anyway.
Yeah.
Which is probably for the best for him.
Yeah.
You know, his body clock is completely inverted, I think.
Yeah, so but, like, we have to do stuff like that too. And then it's a, you know, that's why we will sometimes bring other people in, because even as adults, as it gets a little more settled,
yeah,
you get people that, oh, well, I got this job offer in, you know, Phoenix and I just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've lost people to, you know, that have moved to different parts of the country and
Marty
stuff.
Marty Balake moved down to South Carolina.
Yep. Yeah. And,
Steve Castle is all over the country with his job, and yeah.
and he's still here sometimes. Then you run into him and you're like, how the hell are you here? I really thought you were 2,000 miles away right now.
Right.
like, I don't mean to not call you, Steve. It's right. Just, I never know what time zone you're in at any point in time.
We never know what's happening. Then all of a sudden he's posting pictures of himself and his wife and their dogs. And
yeah. Like, you know, here we are, Presque Isle. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I seriously thought you were in Seattle right now. So, oh, that was 2 days ago. Oh, well, fucking my bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so we do that, and so we've added some people, and yeah, we don't think we talked about this. We're not really looking to add anyone else, but if we were, we know exactly who it would be.
And I think he knows too.
Yeah, he has to know. He's, and for anybody who's like, oh, who, I'll give you a hint. He's been on the show twice, and he can sing the fuck out of some Bad Company.
Oh yeah. So let's do this, Brent.
Let's take a break because I got to pee.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. When we come back from the Autocalypse Food Truck Beer segment, we're going to talk about some charity golf.
And yes.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Erie. Where do you get your tacos? Listen in every week to Idiotville Podcast. And play our game. Where's the Conquistador? Only on Idiotville Podcast.
It's time for the Autocalypse Food Truck
Beer Segment.
We have a mostly empty studio today.
Yeah, everyone's too good for us today.
Yeah, like moving to France and working and taking care of family. What kind of bullshit is that?
Yeah, I don't take care of nothing.
I take care of my kids.
Oh, second. I don't have kids.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet either.
So
my kid turns 16 tomorrow.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. That's really going by, man.
Yeah. Brent, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest?
Coming from the Bayfront Boys podcast, who have probably one of my favorite charity golf outings in the area. He's here to talk about today. Our buddy, Braden Hanlon. Introduce yourself to everyone.
That was a great introduction.
Well, thanks.
yeah, unfortunately, like you guys are talking about, we there's four of us and one of us are here. So everybody relocated a little bit. So I sort of am the spokesperson in Erie while the others are, I think Dylan's coaching kid baseball, which is probably not good for the kids.
Those poor children.
Is it because he's not good with kids or is it because he's not good at baseball?
No, he's good at baseball. I'm not good with people. I mean, he's a very honest person. So he told me, he's like, you swear at the kids? And he'll be like, you know, I get mad at him. He's like, I'll throw the F word around a little bit. And he's like, they're 11.
Yeah. So they think it's cool.
Yeah. Bryce is in the middle of Pennsylvania. Nick, I don't know. Nick wasn't even on the last episode. He could be dead. He could just be doing his own thing. So yeah, Bayfront Boys, we got a charity golf outing coming up. Goes right to the Veterans Miracle Center of Erie, which is the local part of Erie. And we were looking around. We're like, we got to find something that'll benefit everybody. And I mean, we're not giving out $1 million. If somebody wants to donate $1 million, then that'd be great. But we were like, we want to do something that'll help somebody out. And we did the Veterans Miracle Center, and they're awesome.
That is great. As a vet, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody who just likes to see people doing good around here. Thank you. And we're going to be talking about that in great detail. These guys are great. They sent their worst, but we always enjoy the Bayfront Boys.
We'll get their best.
Yeah, we'll get their best.
I would assume are good people.
Yeah, some of them, I'm sure. I've been told. So what do we got today?
Well, it looks like you grabbed us one from Ellicottville Brewing Company. Merry Ghost Round. Sour Ale with Blueberries.
Oh.
Is there a blurb?
This is a pretty sweet can.
There is no blurb, but...
Yeah, they went like Cabbage Patch Kids on the can.
Yeah, almost Garbage Pail Kids.
Well, it depends. I mean, you're right. Like, there's nothing like... No, nobody has that, like, a severed limb or, like, his boogers all over the place or shit themselves. But I don't know if the Cabbage Patch Kids are drinking sour ale.
It looks like they are based on the can art.
So we have to assume that it's the... Yeah, okay. Maybe this is how the Cabbage Patch Kids become sour.
Yeah. Garbage pail,
whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Sour Patch Kids. Maybe they become Sour Patch Kids.
Yes, and then you eat them at the movie theater.
And nowhere else. Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at Untappd and see what Untappd has to say about it.
Those pretentious fucks.
The bunch of assholes.
What kind of ABV do we got on this?
Five.
Okay, that's five. That's not bad. We're not ruining the day.
Got to go pull some weeds after this.
We've had some where you got to do things, but instead you go home and lay down for a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to have the mead guys on here in a few weeks, so I gotta make sure that I hydrate before they come on.
Yes. Yeah, we'll have to do some calisthenics and shit.
Yeah. Bring some snacks in so that I can soak up all that booze from the mead. All right. So the style guide for this on Untappd is a sour fruited ghost sour ale brewed with a rich combination of dark fruit, including black currant and raspberry, and infused with a black volcanic sea salt. It pours a beautiful deep dark purple with a light pink head. Designed to be both exceptionally drinkable and full of flavor, she starts with heavy fruity earthiness while remaining fairly light-bodied and finishes with a soft, briny tartness that clears the palate for your next sip. That is as in-depth a description of a beer that I have ever seen on Untappd.
Yeah, they have a great description writer there.
Yeah, it's almost as good as Marty Balake.
I feel like they hit it on the head, though.
Yeah, really I'm enjoying it.
I was going to say, that's exactly what you experience when you taste it.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a while, and the beer palate grows. As we do this every week, you begin to know more and more about the good beer of what you're looking for. And you're at the point where, you know, like I was say, whenever you're picking this up, you're like, yeah, I know we got to review something new, but I also see like 12 beers we've had before that I'd really like today.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't imagine being at that palate level where you could just taste something like, oh, man, I don't know. It needs something a little more. Maybe some sea salt. Fuck yourself. It needs volcanic black sea salt.
Yes. Yes. So let's see. Let's get some comments. Sour and blueberry, two great tastes. 5 out of 5 from Lee S.
All right, Lee. Just fastball down the middle there.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not mincing his words.
No. At least we know what he feels about it.
Excellent for a summer night. Chris G, 4.5.
All right.
Light from Lucas. Just light.
Light.
3.25.
Apparently he didn't lie. I was just wondering, like, if is that a good thing? Or is that like, oh man, it was light and refreshing, or light? Get the shit out of my face. Kind of feels like it was closer to the latter.
Maddie C, like it. Tart and fruity.
Simple.
Eric W. Disappointingly bland. Weak blueberry. Not very sour. Yet Eric still gave it 3.75.
You know, it's not... I mean, there is a little bit of sour in there. But I've had sourer.
Weak blueberry. I like that one.
Yeah. Tim C.
That describes my basketball game.
Where are you getting your blueberries from?
Obviously, the bland blueberry farm. Refreshing ghost on a warm day. And that was a 3.25.
Wow, you think they would have scored that a little better considering, like, yeah, this was quite pleasant. 3.
Toby V, not the strongest flavor, but light and tasty. 4 out of 4 or 4 out of 5.
And, you know, I can understand why people say that, because I actually expected it to be a little stronger in flavor. But I think that's why I like it.
I agree. There's no awful takes on here about this.
What's the overall rating on that one again?
Overall, we are getting a, let me scroll all the way back to the top, 3.57 on over 1,000 reviews. So that's...
I mean, it's not bad.
It's above average.
Yeah.
It's very... it's very Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
It's above average, but it's not great.
That's the Steelers.
Consistent.
Yeah. Consistency is only a virtue if you're not a fuck up.
Well, that's why it's not a virtue for me. That really sucks.
Yeah.
No, but like, I mean, I guess the way I would pitch this to somebody is I like it as a sour, but I'm not a big sour fan. And I'm wondering if that's the reason I like it so much.
I would agree wholeheartedly, because I don't like sours. Like, I don't like the overpowering sours. But if it's got like a little bit of a sour and then that added fruit, the more of it I drink, the more sour I get and the less blueberry I get.
Yeah.
But
I just got that with that last sip.
Yep.
It's just no blueberry.
But you know what? It's that first sip was, wow, that's really fruity. And it's not the sour isn't going to knock you on your ass. So I kind of like it.
Yeah, I do too. The one thing that's scary about it, even though it's like low, yeah, it's only a 5.
Yeah.
ABVs are just there enough to let you know they're there, but it's a really smooth drink. This is one where you could actually chug it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at how like smooth it goes down. I'm just like, yeah, I could probably down like most of this with this next gulp if I wanted to.
Yeah, I was thinking that. And it's not going to kill you either, because it's only that 5 ABV, so you're not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only also, if you want to drink like 20 freaking craft beers, you're in trouble anyway. But
yeah, because it's going to cost you a fortune.
Exactly. That's exactly why.
And it's probably going to wreck your shit. So
I mean, like, I don't know. I've learned to kind of expect differently. Like, you buy like your 4-pack and you spend your $16 on that 4-pack, and that's going to be enough. And this one, as like I said, it's one of my only knocks on it is this feel like with the taste and the feel, it's almost like I should buy it in a case and drink them all day.
Yeah, that's not awful. It's one you could take on the golf course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But based on, you know, its packaging and price point and everything it's supposed to do, it is not intended for that to be the case.
It's not a cheap golf course beer.
No.
Well, let's go ahead and give it a rating, Brent. What do you think? Well, you know what? Let's describe the rating system.
Oh, yes. It's important.
I'm going in blind.
Yeah.
So this is for Braden and any new listeners. Our Idiotville beer rating scale is basically the same as Untappd. You're going to rank a beer out of 5. We like to use the quarter points.
The Dewey Decimal System.
Yes.
Somebody's still using it.
Yeah, somewhere. Actually, no, I think they did away with it. But 5-point scale, quarter point breaks. If you are leaning, or if you're split, like you can't decide if it's 4.5 or 4.25, my rule of thumb is to always go with the lower, because if you were certain, it would be that higher number.
Yeah.
And a good way for us to kind of put the scale into perspective for people is a middle of the road beer is your Yingling Lager. That's a 2.5. That's about the most average beer you're going to have. A really bad beer is the pickle beer that we had some time ago.
That was a zero.
We gave it a one.
I brought that number down.
Yes. It was a one. And then
like the recommend?
The recommend is a four. It's our go-to IPA, which is Dulacan from Lavery Brewing.
Yeah. What's the highest?
The highest we've ever had, I want to say it was the Heady Topper.
See,
I definitely gave.
I was Heady working Topper a five. During that one. Oh man. It's for some reason Heady Topper hits so much better when you're actually at the Alchemist.
Yeah,
like I can holy imagine. Shit. But yeah, it was either that. I know Zombie Dust scored high. That one that we got from Dust Bowl
a few
weeks ago. Because that was so funky and good. Like it converted you.
4.75.
I'm hoping Donnie's got some of that by now, because I was telling Uppy, like, you gotta get this to him because this is unreal.
Well, I Uppy showed us one that he got last night. What was it, like 18% or something like
that?
Yeah,
he was basically 18. You had to do shots of it.
Like, yeah. He sent us some stuff and it was like, here, this one is 12 and this one is 11, and we just drank them all. We were all sorts of messed up.
Yeah, it was not a good day.
So,
all right. You want me to do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I put a lot of thought into this, and I was all over the board. And I'm going to give it a 3.75 for a different reason. I like it. For me personally, it's a 4, maybe even a 4.25. But I got to think, people who are listening here who like sours, what are they going to want into the sour? And that's the hard thing about doing this is, you know, you want to be like, well, this isn't my favorite kind of beer, so I'm going to rate it lower. And that's not fair. That's not what we're doing. So I have to think, how does this stand up against other sours for people who like sours? And for that, I think it would come in just short of recommend. So I'm going to go 3.75.
Okay. And I'm going to completely shit all over that, because I rate it based on how I feel about it. And I'm not a huge fan of sours, but this is a really good one. So I'm actually going to go with a 4. I guess I'm not really shitting all over it, but I am going to go with a 4 on it, just because I think it's good for people who don't like sours to kind of get an entry. It's like an entry level sour.
It is. It's just like, yeah, when you first have your IPA, it's best to go with a session. Don't jump into the 2 or 3X.
No, definitely not. Don't get the Dogfish Head 120 minute.
Oh, dude, that's crazy.
That's the best beer I've ever had in my life. So, Braden, what do you think?
All right. So, first reaction, I was like, first sip, I was like, this might be, you know, one of the best I've ever had. But like we talked about, I'm not getting a lot of blueberry after that first sip. I feel like if you kept getting that blueberry, I'd have it definitely over fours, but I'm going 3.75. I think you're definitely just getting sour at this point, which I enjoy. But that blueberry, that first sip, I was like, wow, this is incredible. Yeah. And then after that, I'm like, all right, well, it's going down a little bit.
I wonder if this is one of those ones that you have to store upside down and then flip it and let it
shake well first.
Yeah, yeah. I have seen beers like that, and a lot with the fruity ones.
Yeah.
That you really have to do that. So that actually puts us at a 3.75 for this one, just short of recommended. But like I said, it is a really good entry level sour, and Ellicottville, they never disappoint. I don't think we've had a bad one from them.
Yeah, yet. You know, if I was up in like Bemis Point, because that's usually where, you know, you're drinking Ellicottville. Yeah. Like, I mean, if you're at Bemis Point chilling in that, they're little like, yeah, like brew pub or whatever they have there by the lake,
mm-hmm.
and this was on tap, I'd order one.
Yeah,
I would. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But yeah, what I'm saying is, yeah, well, yeah, maybe wouldn't like, oh shit, it's in, we better buy it all up. I don't know if it's there.
Yeah, it's not like not a reason to go there, but if it's there, you'll drink it.
Yeah.
So, Brent, we have a very important thing that we need to get to the bottom of right now.
Yes, it's probably the most important thing I'd say in the world
ever.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
There is, but nothing's more important than this. So, Brent, I'm gonna ask you,
where's the conquistador? Well, that sweet bastard has it lined up.
All right.
There's going to be plenty of opportunities. I just got his schedule for the month.
Oh
man. He's going to be around. I don't know. He had to send it to me in two texts. So
what is he on, like SMS or what? like the old school where it just
it comes up green, so it could be, yeah,
breaks it up and puts it all in the wrong order.
Yes, but he I mean, this is probably the biggest schedule I've ever seen for him for a month. It seems like he's having a great month, a great season so far, from both talking to him and just, I don't know if I've ever seen as many people just being like, oh man, you got to try this. And I'm like, well, you apparently haven't been listening to us for the last fucking 2 years. We've been telling you that every week.
Yeah, we saw him a couple weeks ago, and he was telling us he doesn't have any open slots for the rest of the summer. He said he, with all the people that have contacted him, he could have two more trucks and still not fill them all.
Yeah, and I know going in, like, he was optimistic. He was cautiously optimistic. And I think he's blowing those expectations away just from the outside, because yep. I feel like it's getting a lot of buzz. He clearly has a lot on his schedule, so I'm happy for him. But if you want to see him today, you're shit out of luck.
June 4, 2022.
Yeah, right now he's at a private event, which I just always assume, just being one fucking fat guy having a taco eating contest in his backyard. Just being like, hey, keys to the door. Another. Load him up.
Like the general at the end of The Incredible Hulk, when he's just sitting at the bar doing shots and just going, reload.
Yeah. Yeah, this is kind of what I'm expecting. I just, one sweet, wealthy bastard just downing tacos. Just one Karen after the other.
That'd be pretty sweet, though. Yeah,
I know.
Like your own private taco truck?
Yeah, you know, like whenever Powerball gets like super high and everyone's just like, oh, I know what I would do.
Private taco.
Yeah, this is sort of what plays in my mind. Just me and my fatness sitting in my backyard being like, hey, conquistador, come on, keep them coming.
Chop, chop. Actually, you wouldn't even have to. You'd have somebody go get them for you.
Yeah. No, I would expect Chris to actually walk them over to me.
Yes. And then stand there while you taste it and give him the nod that it's good.
He's wearing a tuxedo that day. And then he, a nice little rag around his arm, and then he wipes my face clean. Like, thank you, conquistador. You may continue making tacos for me now.
What's the rest of
that? And by the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's.
I don't think anything's going to help that. But
once our hero is done with whatever, with our fantasy of what a private event means, he's going to be doing some good tomorrow. Is there for the Shriners Day, the Walk of Love from 9 to 1. If you're walking and you're walking for a good cause, you're going to need some refreshments. You're tired after all that walking. You're helping our area. You're helping a great charity. But don't worry, there's a reward for you, because right at the end of that rainbow,
the pot of gold.
The pot of gold is the Atocalypse food truck.
Oh, that is awesome. Where is that event?
That's at the Shriners Club.
No, okay,
the
Shriners. Up there on.
I'm not exactly sure, to be honest.
38th and 38th and Zook.
Yeah, it might be up there. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, you know, look it up.
But by the time this drops, that will be old news, right?
Right.
So we got some other things going on. On the 8th, he's going to be a Black Monk from 5 to 8, and 8th, that's like the middle of the week. By that time, your job's annoying you, your family's annoying you, and you know what can make that go away? A nice cold beer and a nice warm taco.
Yeah, or two.
Or both.
Or even three, yeah. And some of that sweet Mexican applesauce.
You know what? Sometimes it gets away from you if you're a Black Monk. You just keep ordering it up, you're having good conversations, everything's feeling good, great vibes, and you're just like, yeah, keep throwing it on my tab. Now you got to get your shit together. You have work tomorrow. You know what's going to help you get your shit together?
Tacos.
Yeah.
All right.
So he follows that up on the 11th. He's going to be at Arendelle.
Okay.
For the Blossom Festival.
That's
from
1
to 8.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. He says it's not the 90s TV show, which sucks, because wouldn't that be awesome if it was like an actual Blossom Festival?
Like
with like Joey Lawrence and shit?
Mayim Bialik.
Yeah. That chick, the other Jeopardy host?
Yes. Yeah. One that's not as good as Aaron Rodgers?
He's got to give it to Ken Jennings at this point in time.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, what the hell? So he's going to be there from 1 to 8 at the Blossom Festival. I don't know what that is. All I know is Joey Lawrence will not be there.
Where is the Blossom Festival?
Arendelle.
Okay.
And then on the 12th, Gibson Park for Gibson Days, which I didn't even know was a thing.
That's next Sunday.
Next Sunday. Gibson Day. So this is kind of good for the Gibson Days, too. This is why they do this. They're like, I have a plan. We can fill up all of our people with these awesome tacos, and we can have Idiotville talk about this because they don't even know what the hell Gibson days are.
You know what? I feel like while you're doing that, I'm gonna go ahead and find out what Gibson days
are. I want to know what Gibson days are. Is this something that I want to go to? I mean, I do because the Taco Loves food truck is going to be there.
Brayden, do you have any idea what Gibson days is?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, we're going to find out.
But I'm interested.
I am interested,
seems,
too.
It seems exclusive at this point.
Yeah.
Like, either you know about it or you don't. And if you don't, then...
Yeah, and I feel like we're giving this gift to everybody here. God, I can't wait for Gibson days. Next Sunday, huh?
Next Sunday.
Holy fuck, you are slow with this.
Sorry, I got a notification that some of my comics sold on eBay. And well, let me close it.
Great for you, but we got to do the important shit now, which is talk about Gibson days and the taco truck. Are you going on Alta Vista to find this? What the fuck are you doing?
Gibson days is Gibson Park in Northeast. It's one of the longest running. Oh, for...
Okay. The longest running what?
It is one of the longest running craft and artisan festivals in Northeast PA and one of the first festivals of the season. This will be the Northeast Lions Club's fourth year running the festival after a 2-year hiatus due to the pandemic. And every year we strive to make it better than the last.
Well, clearly they went the extra mile this year by bringing in the Tacos food truck.
Goddamn right. They're there.
So I can get like a dream catcher and like.
Go get some crafts.
Yeah, get some crafts. What else do they always have at those things?
Candied apples.
Candied apples. The kettle corn.
I love fresh kettle corn.
Yeah.
And I could eat it by the ton.
God, it's good. But fuck the kettle corn.
Yeah.
Fuck the candy apples.
Mm-hmm.
Tacos are there.
Goddamn right.
Yes.
And Gibson Park is at Route 20 and Route 89.
Yeah, I think it's that Northeast. One, like, right there. It's, like, the main corner.
Yeah, right in
the by the library, Northeast. Like, that one, if I'm not mistaken.
You're not
the
going
center
to,
of Northeast.
Yes. If you're not going to Gibson Days, don't try to drive through Northeast because it'll just piss you off. But if
and that's
you
are, for any day.
Any day.
It, yeah, pretty much the tacos. Central Park of Northeast.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's better than Meth Park out there in Quarry.
Anything's better than anything in Quarry.
That's true. It's true. Because Northeast is...
Never noticed the conquistador doesn't go to Quarry. He wants to come back with all of his wheels.
And some money instead of trying to get people to get stuff on spec or on loan.
Okay, maybe we should say this about one of our sponsors. To be fair, to be fair, I don't know if the conquistador hates Quarry. We
hate Corey. Yeah.
That's us. We don't speak for him. It is us that hates Corey. But so we had a decent beer. We told you where the conquistador is. I feel like it's about time to put a bow on this bitch.
I think you're right. So let's raise up our cans and we close it out with
beers to ya.
Look for this video on our YouTube page sometime today or tomorrow. We are back from the Autocalypse food truck beer segment.
And what a beer segment it was.
It was quite the beer segment, Brent. And that particular segment is brought to you by the Autocalypse food truck, hence the name Autocalypse food truck beer segment. But we do have another sponsor that we want to tell you about. And that sponsor is, Brent?
Palermo Realty. Yes, times are tough out there. You know what would make them a lot better? If you went home to your sweet castle. That you got from Palermo Realty.
Palermo Realty, who gives us a quarter every time we say
Palermo Realty. Honestly, I think you'd have to be a moron to not use their services. But
I would think that you might actually be mentally disabled if you don't use.
Yeah, services. Yeah. I mean, what the hell's wrong with you if you're not renting or purchasing from rental? Yeah, from Palermo Realty.
From Palermo Realty.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, but I intend to.
Yeah,
but
eventually,
maybe not.
Maybe.
Perhaps, but if I were in the market. That's where I would go.
First place.
I didn't know them when I was in the market.
Right.
Please excuse me.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Palermo Realty, please accept our apologies.
Yes. And everybody go there.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know what? This weekend, I am going to abandon my place. I'm just going to run out in the middle of the night and get a new place from Palermo Realty.
Good call. I like it.
That's what I would do. Burn your house down and get a new one from Palermo Realty.
Accidentally burn your house down.
I mean, I
don't commit arson. That's a crime.
I mean, who am I to say? I'm not their dad. Well, they can do. They're grown people. They can do what they want.
You're at least one of their dads.
I'm more of a father figure. They put their tiny hand in mine. I could be their creature teacher, anything they have in mind. Wow, that got weird. Fucking great song. Great song.
I love that song.
Yeah.
So let's give them the tagline.
Get paid, get laid, and get real at Palermo Realty.
All right.
Why do they give us money?
I don't know, but as long as they keep doing it, we'll keep being goofs.
Yes.
So we're back with Braden from Bayfront.
Welcome back, Braden.
Still happy. I'm still happy to be here.
We're happy to have you, bro.
So coming up here on July 23rd at Beachwood Golf Course is the third annual Bayfront Boys Scramble.
You will be scrambled.
Yes.
Brought to you by, Protocol?
Yeah.
Spiked protein?
We need to have those guys on.
That is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
You ever see their billboard? I was just like, is this like a fucking for real thing?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, not only is it a for real thing, it's Erie based.
Yep.
What could possibly be better?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, well, they're our, title sponsor, and I met them. I have no idea what the business model is. I just know that they keep, the 100% unnecessary, and I guess that's just what it is. Whenever you would want spike protein, it tastes pretty good. It's not like a seltzer. So, like, when it first goes down, you're like, oh, I was expecting that fizz. It's supporting local, and they came and they're like, hey, we want to sponsor. And we're like, great. They're going to be giving out free samples. I'm not too sure what they were working with the golf course, whether the golf course is going to sell it. I think they have some. And they're bringing a 13-foot can, like an inflatable thing. They'll have a tent set up, so it's going to be pretty cool. Protocol, 100% unnecessary. They are the title sponsor, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Like, I've never had any of their stuff, but like, I feel like it's perfect for that event.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to slam one, and then I'm going to hit, like, I'm going to drive, like, Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, it's going to be fucking amazing.
It's like the perfect marketing. Like, hey, we're here to have a good time, but you also want to add, 20 yards to that drive. So yeah. There you go.
Performance enhancing alcohol.
Exactly.
That's amazing. That is the greatest. I'm going to go get some today.
Yeah. So, he'll just be in his garage, like lifting with his shirt off, like Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
Doing sit ups in the driveway.
Yeah, it is. It's a, like I said, it's at first when I first saw it, because this was like a year or two ago when I saw it on Instagram, and I'm like, I don't know what this is. And then at first I was like, are they really making the drink, or is this sort of just like, the content thing, and they started producing it. I'm like, all right, this is real. And now it's everywhere. Like, it's in a lot of stores around here.
I've seen it.
Yeah, I know, like, a lot of the country fairs have it, a lot of the local places, and they do a lot of things at the bars. Like, they did a bar crawl, and they do, I mean, they're a lot of fun. So after last year, it was pretty chaotic. So this year is going to be a lot more interesting.
Well, that's the thing. On their social media, they seem like fun guys.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, to have a alcohol protein or a spiked protein, you really have to be.
Yeah.
That's not for button down.
There's no competition in that market. No,
they have the market cornered.
Yeah.
I would also like to talk about the charity that your scramble is benefiting. It is the Veterans Miracle Center of Erie. And what sorts of things did they do?
So that's the more important part. The protocol is going to add a lot of fun. So the Veterans Miracle Center. So the first year we did the MLK Center. And like I sort of told you guys a little bit ago, I mean, it was like, how can we find something that's going to make an impact? And I mean, we're not raising an absurd amount of money. So we were like, let's find something local. And the first year we were like, it was during the pandemic. So we're like, that's another thing I told you, like, it's sad, but during the pandemic, it was, May, and everybody was canceling their golf outings. And then it was sort of like, hey, things might be normal again in the summer. Obviously, we're stupid to think that, because now we're, I don't even know, 2 years plus. And we were like, let's do a golf outing. And this is probably May. So we had no idea. We had no sponsors. We had no people in it.
Oh, my God. You turned it around.
We didn't even have a golf course. So just like through our connections, we knew the guy from Beachwood. And we're like, is there an open day? And there was. And we're like, all right, let's do it. And the first year, we just sort of scrambled it together in literally about a month and a half. Then last year, we were looking and we're like, let's do July 4th weekend. A lot of our friends will be in town that weekend, and it works out well. And, people will come there in the morning, go do something at night, and then July 4th the next day. And I didn't know too much about the Veterans Miracle Center until my friend Rosen was like, hey, it's kind of by my house. So I'm like, all right. And we looked it up and it said it was local and it was all just eerie stuff. So I called it. We got in contact with Chuck, who's awesome. He called me the one day and was like, hey, I want you to come, you know, check it out. So I went over there. And when you walk in, there's just stuff everywhere. And like half of it's a warehouse, the middle of it's an office. And then he was like, I want to show you the other part. And it's like, it's a store. You walk in and there's literally everything you could think of, whether it's hygiene stuff, whether it's clothes, dress clothes, t-shirt, shorts. And it's all free. It's all to veterans. It's all to active military members. And they just get shipments in and it's, you know, whatever they get, they put it out there. And, you know, we just wanted to highlight that because, I mean, my grandpa was a veteran and the other people in the Bayfront Boys have people in that they know in the military or veterans. And I mean, it was the 4th of July. So it was like, hey, this is a perfect, you know, duo to put together. And then it was also like you could have gone to the other places that, you know, veterans do. But those are like the national ones. And, you know, I know Chuck was telling us like they rely on these type of things. So if you go to their website, I mean, they do have a couple more outings and they do have their own outing, which is cool. I mean, if you go on their website now, they just built like a ramp for like a dude that's 105 years old who's, that's awesome. Who's a veteran.
And just going to pull that up.
Yeah, they do some pretty sweet stuff. But yeah, he just showed me around. He was like, all this stuff is completely free. So they help out veterans and they, you know, they do it all for free and they just sort of rely on these type of things to help pay for a lot of stuff. So we were super excited. And like I said, once I went through and toured around and I was like, okay, you know, this makes sense. July 4th weekend, you do a lot of stuff. And that was the goal. We want to do it for something for Erie. We don't want to, you know, send a couple $1,000 to some random national thing that you're not going to
drop in the bucket.
Like, yeah. And they're like, all right, cool. We just got like COVID funding for $1 million. So
yeah, VMCE just got a check from the Otters in April for $8,350.
Yeah.
People donate stuff to them all the time. If you want to check out their website, it's vmcerie.org. They have a Facebook presence. I don't know if they're on Twitter or Instagram or anything like that, but it looks like they do a lot of good in the community. And as a veteran, I am really happy that that's a service that exists for our vets in Erie. And I definitely recommend that you check them out.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about the scramble.
Yeah.
So it's a shotgun start, 1 p.m.
Yep. So everybody... like I said, we're filling up pretty quick because, you know, year one, like I said, we sort of just threw it together and people did like that was awesome because it is. I mean, our demographic is just like degenerate 21-ish. And they're like, hey, and that was our thing. We were making it. We're like, you know, we're not. It changed a little bit because the year one, we're like, you know, we're not going to make a ton of money from this. And we wanted to make it cheap because at the time we were all in college and we're like, hey, you know, I mean, I'm in golf outings this summer that are $120, you know, more than that. And, you know, you raise a lot of money that way. But that's sort of why we rely on the sponsors. And so we made it cheap. It's only $65. But yeah, I mean, it's year one was a lot of fun. Last year, like I said, it was chaos. It was July 4th weekend. We were about halfway through and one of the beer cart girls like, hey, we're out. And we had so much more alcohol last year than we did the first year. And it's like, I mean, everybody's like average like a 6-pack a person. And I'm like, okay. And we averaged more than that. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm halfway through and I'm on the golf course and they're like, hey, we're out of alcohol. And we're like, so we called the people that were donating it to us and they're like, yeah, just come pick up some more. And I mean, it was so much fun. But yeah, I mean, this year, like I said, now that we're adding protocol to it and you're adding, you know, free samples, it'll be interesting, but it's a lot of fun. Like I was saying before we started recording, year one was pretty good competition. I don't remember what the people finished at. It was like 12 or, you know, 13 under. Last year, I think people had a little too much to drink and the scores went down a lot. So if you're decent at golf, it's a great opportunity to come win it.
And the idiots are not only sponsoring a hole, we're also going to be participating. We just got to find a couple of ringers to help us out.
Yeah. And also, I mean, going back to the Veterans Miracle Center, they give us some sweet gifts. Like last year, Chuck was like, hey, you know, I got this gun safe. You want to raffle it off? And I was like, sure. And it ended up being one of the prizes for the longest putt or something. And I mean, you show up. Last year, we had the Score in Akron donated a TV. I mean, you win like foursomes. The prizes are pretty good. Like I said, you could leave with a gun safe. You don't have a gun. I don't know. There's a chance to just have a gun safe. You could sell it.
You can lock shit in it.
Yeah, I mean, Chuck also has some like you saw they posted on their website, and they we get a lot of people that are like, hey, we'll donate a basket. There was a pretty sweet basket that the Veterans Miracle Center donated last year. It was a Budweiser. I think it was Budweiser. And at the top, it was probably like, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 feet. At the top,
Jesus.
At the top of the basket was, it looked like a beer bottle, and it was a speaker. And it was one of the cool speakers. I will say, though, I'm not going to name any names because this person was intoxicated. It's the person who won the speaker, that basket, sold the speaker for like $100-some bucks. Jeez. Somebody was, you know, hey, they really wanted that speaker.
You know, a drunk and his money are soon parted.
Yeah.
So if you can, and if you don't have the info or you're not comfortable sharing it, what did you guys wind up donating to?
Last year, I think it was, I think it's on our Instagram. I really don't even remember the total amount. Oh, here it is, because it's a giant check. So we donated $1,200. The thing is with this year, you know, now we already have the protocol sponsor, which will definitely help going towards that. And we do have the whole sponsors that are coming. So, I mean, it's pretty cool if you can write on that giant check.
Heck yeah. Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. So, I mean, this year we're already, like I said, we're already doing really well this year, and it's definitely going to be a higher amount. And that's why, I mean, just looking for more local places that are interested in helping, it's going right to the Veterans Miracle Center. So the more that we can help them, the better it is.
Now, this is all and my favorite thing about that is I've done a lot of golf tournaments like this too. And I think some people get intimidated by it and be like, well, I'm not much of a golfer.
Yeah,
people who've never done these things before think that everybody's like trying out for the PGA or something like that. No, these are, I mean, you just heard the alcohol story. These are fun as shit. Yeah. You don't have to be in a 4-person scramble. What that means for the layperson, because the three of us know.
Yeah.
But for the layperson, what that means is, let's say we all go out there, we hit a drive, we're taking the best one. And then that second shot, we'll take the best one, and everybody else picks up their ball. So if you're like contributing like 2 shots and just you're funny and you're drinking beer, that's fine. You can come. You'll have a good time.
Exactly. And just like that, I mean, all you have to do is have one good shot, because then you get in and be like, hey, remember we used my shot on hole 7? Or what? So Bryce was on my team the first year, and Bryce wasn't a big golfer then. And what you got, it here's the key. So those of you that have never been in a scramble and you're like, I suck at golf, go start playing like putt-putt or something until July 23rd, because then what you do, you don't hit a good shot the entire hole. You go to the green first, just tap it in. Just like, hey, I got this one, tap it in. And then you're like, hey, that guy made like 9 of our putts. that's the goal. If you can just get on the green and make a couple putts, and then, because usually the worst person goes first. So if you're like, hey, you guys don't have to putt this hole, I just put it in, you contributed, and that's all you got to do. But yeah, I mean, scrambles are awesome, because it's not, I mean, if you hit a bad shot, you still got 3 more chances. And there's, especially in ours, like I said, the talent level isn't super high. And it's more of like a large get together. And we just use golf as the reasoning.
With us coming, the talent level, while not being super high, is going to drop.
Yeah. I mean, I think our year one champions, they broke up, and a couple of them aren't even in it. Well, as of now, they aren't. I think, you know, the last time I talked to them, they were trying to put together a team. But I mean, like, the talent level's going down. If anything, it's getting worse. And right. With increased alcohol,
saying there's a chance.
I mean, I think we're literally the only golf outing I heard of where multiple teams have come in over par. Like, you got 4 people. If you are coming in over par with 4
at
people.
At Beechwood, for fuck's sake.
At Beechwood. Yeah, we're not playing at like Augusta or anything. We're playing at Beechwood, and you have 4 chances to hit a good shot.
Yeah, so, to put that in perspective, I did one last year at Venango Valley.
Was that the one where you slapped that guy?
Yeah, yeah, that was that one.
That was awesome.
And we came in at 6 under par, and we're like, whoa, what the fuck happened to us out there?
Yeah. Like, yeah, we had like +8, and I was like, you guys sure?
So, I'm going to have to go to the driving range between now and July 23rd.
Yeah, we'll hit it up.
Yeah, we're going to have to. I'm going to need you to coach me on my swing.
Buddy. Yeah, yeah. I was like I said, I have 2 sets of clubs in my – I would – my other one that I do, which actually I'm going to be on a little trip that weekend, so I will not be able to do it. Yeah. I would have missed here anyway because it would have been during that.
Yeah.
But I needed one. But that one, like I, my son is actually replacing me because I'll be on that trip.
Yeah.
My son's not going to this one. Yeah. Nobody – yeah. This is not a good place for somebody to turn 16 tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe not the best one, but in a couple of years, we'll pencil them in.
Yeah.
Give them 5 years. Oh, these are super fun. We used to do one with when I worked for this one place. And actually, my team won every year we did it. And it wasn't because of me. It was because this other dude, there's like, oh, this is the only time of year I golf. But he was like a college basketball player. So he's like exceedingly coordinated.
Natural athlete.
Yeah. He's just like, oh, shit, another 300-yard drive. Yeah, I haven't played since we did this last. Just one of those guys where like if he really like dedicated his time to it, he would be unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, you got to create the team because then you can be like, oh, this guy can hit the ball far. This guy's, you know, good with the short game and stuff. And then you just got to be there and be like, hey, I'm a good time.
This guy here is comedy relief.
Yeah.
This guy here is here to get me beer.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be a good time. And yeah, you guys need anything in the cooler. So yeah, you just got to find your niche. Are you the guy that's good at golf? Are you the guy that's going to just have a good time?
So let's tell people where Beachwood Golf Club is.
So Beachwood Golf Club is... I don't even know if it's just like on a street. It's just right off of the highway.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I almost got hit by a ball driving on 90 before.
That's the thing. Pressure, hole number one, you're hitting it onto the highway. So I don't even know if they have like a legitimate road for it. You just go down. There's some houses there.
Isn't it off like the Steritania exit?
Yeah, it's right off of Steritania. But you go up and like I said, it adds a little bit of pressure because you're like, hey, if I hit hole one to the left, I'm literally on the highway.
Yeah. Yeah. I was almost.
There's no like net. There's no safety net there. It's just, hey, hopefully you're not that bad.
It's 6401 Gorski Road. There you go,
Gorski. Yeah, I remember. I mean, I'm telling you, there's like 2 houses. It's like a dirt road. Great place, though. Awesome. Awesome place.
It's basically get off of 90 at the Steritania exit.
Yeah, if you drive past, it's like the – I don't think it's a Best
if
Western.
If you get to the –
yeah, it's that one – yeah, that shitty hotel it's where all green. The truckers stay.
Yeah. It's green, yeah.
Yeah, if you get
to – on the south end of the highway.
Yeah, if you made it to that hotel, you're too far.
Yeah, if you get to Quality Inn, you've gone too far. And then Beachwood's nestled in back there and wow, that's vast. It's a
yeah, it's not the hardest course, though.
No, I mean, it's open. Like, there's not a whole lot of – obstacles. There's the one hole 10 where you got to hit it over some water. Which,
Jesus Christ.
Nobody gets it on the green. So,
no, you want to know the worst with that? If we're going 2 inside golf, I did. Now I think it's just called the Ridge, but Crabapple Ridge.
Yep.
I think, what is it? Hole number 8. There's this par 3 where you go over this pond.
Yep.
And I have put it on the green with backspin before and it rolls in. Like, no matter what, I hit it into that fucking pond. I'm pretty sure I hit it into the hole. It jumped out of it. Yeah. Rolled out.
So the thing about that hole is it's like the green is a slant. Ugh. And then the right side, you're coming up the hill. So if you miss right, you have basically an impossible shot unless you can just hit basically a flop shot, which nobody can unless you're on the tour. If you hit it left, you're good, but then you're not on the green. If you hit it short, you're in the water. So I just played the Ridge the other day, and they always have the pin placement. So, like, if you don't hit a perfect shot, it's rolling all the way down.
I fucking hate that hole so bad.
That might be the worst.
Now, I haven't played there since they did the Ridge. Are those greens, like, it felt like they used to cut them back at the end of Crabapple days, like, once a month?
Yeah, no, it's a lot nicer now. The only downside is the cart path.
The cart paths are garbage.
It's like... hole 1 where they're still trying to have a cart path, it looks like a crater. Like it looks like in those movies where the earth used to like split. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, but you pretty much drive in the middle of the San Andreas Fault.
Yeah, nice. Exactly. Awesome. But no, they definitely changed it a little bit.
So good, nicer. Good.
Number 10 at Beachwood is from the white tees is 387 yards. par 4 from both the gold tees and the women's tees It's 297.
So they you get a little less of the water to deal with, or so.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll probably lay up because there's no way I'm gonna.
You know, dude, why the fuck would you lay up at a fucking scramble?
I don't want to lose the ball.
Yeah, I'm no, cheap. You just say, "Hey, I'm gonna hit it hard."
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, okay. So I'll help you out. I'll help you out with this.
All right.
You know, like my really good friend that I grew up with, and his wife works for you.
Yeah,
his dad used to be a groundskeeper at Erie Golf Course.
Yeah.
And he would find these balls all the time and he gave them to him. But my friend's he's a much better golfer than I am.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'm not playing that. I play like Pro V1s. But I use them for smart dumb as he like learns because, oh, it's a fucking top flight. He doesn't give a shit. He's, you know, he's still trying to break 100 for the first time.
Uh-huh. Me too.
So I have this huge box of just garbage ass balls that have been in the bottom of ponds.
There you go.
Nice. You can have some. Just grab some. It's no big deal.
I appreciate it. So let's go ahead and close up here for the day.
God, I just want to talk about golf.
But
seriously, like these things are super fun. The thing that we'll stress here is you don't have to be like the pro or anything. The money, you're going to have a great few hours. You guys have food there and stuff too, right?
Yep. So, I mean, there's like the hot dogs, hamburgers. I mean, there's food. We get stuff donated. Alcohol.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great time.
So you're helping a great cause. You're hanging out with your friends on a nice sunny day. You could win more shit,
yeah,
but you're at least going to get fed.
Yep.
And so I can think of a worse way to spend that money. Like that's a great afternoon.
That's the thing. I mean, it's only $65. There's not, I mean, I don't know any other scramble that is that cheap. All you can drink, all you can really eat. Like I said, you know, get a couple tickets, put them in a prize. You could, I mean, if you're good at golf, you could win the longest drive, you know, close to the pin. If you're not good at golf, you could still win, you know, some of the random events. And, you know, we've always kicked around ideas of like, should we add a hole where it's like, hey, how far can you throw the golf ball? Or, you know, how, you know, what can you do to it? You know, worst drive. So we look out for the people that aren't the best. And, you know, there's always a chance to win some prizes.
Yeah. So I mean, you could even come out ahead if you go to this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you come out with a $200 gun safe and then sell it.
Sell it because you don't own guns.
Yeah, there you go.
So where can we find you guys on social media?
So we're on Instagram and Twitter mostly, just at Bayfront Boys. We use Facebook a little bit, not so much. Just like, I mean, like I said, most of our demographics not on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Instagram, Twitter. We do have an email, which is on all of our social medias if you're interested. Spots are going pretty quickly, but you know, if you can't make it, it's a great opportunity. It's $50 to sponsor a hole. Like I said, that money is going to everybody to, you know, pay for people, and then it's going, whatever we have left is going to the Veterans Miracle Center.
I love it.
And I just, that's my sales pitch. It's not like we're just like, hey, let's keep this and see, you know, let's go out for a night. It's going right to the Veterans Miracle Center. And like I said, I mean, go to their website and check it out. The first thing you're going to see is they built a ramp, 105 years old. That's sick. And they do everything they can to help veterans, and they help active military members. Chuck's an awesome guy, super nice. And, you know, he'll text me and be like, hey, you know, we're getting some stuff in. But like the thing we do with protocol, we just want it to be eerie. We want it to be local. So like we do have some, you know, local banks and local businesses that are sponsoring, and you know, the more the merrier.
Yeah, and we are proud. Proud to be a sponsor yes. of this event that we clearly believe in enough where we had the guy on here.
Yeah.
And we've shared shows before. We're happy to see your success, man. We really are.
And see, now we're getting nicer. At the beginning, it was like, you know, kick me down.
That's sort of our brand. No, if we have somebody on the show, we never like are like,
oh, that's
hey, our, I hate this fucking asshole.
The weakest of the Bayfront Boys has joined us.
That's our thing. Like if Nick or Dylan or Bryce miss an episode, it's like they're dead to us. You know, it's like just you get to say whatever because they can't come back at you. They don't have a microphone on. It's,
why do you think we're so mean to take?
Say whatever you want right now. Because, you know, they're not going to call in.
Exactly. This is not your time. They just have to sit there and take it.
Yeah, they just have to listen to the recording in a few days and be like, wow, I'm going to be on the next one.
Yes. All right, so that's going to do it for Idiotville 205. Braden, thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure to be with you guys.
Yeah. It's always a pleasure.
Great to have you back.
We're going to have to do the massive one. We're going to have to get everybody back in and just...
NFL preview, man.
There you go.
All right, so for Brent and Liberty...
Love you, Eric.
I am Dill Spears, and we will see you on the golf course. Yes.
The Idiotville team would like to thank Community Access Media, the Autocalypse Food Truck, Lama Realty, our Patreon subscribers, and all of our listeners for their support and contributions. We love you, Erie.